Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Blender blinked. And here we have... Rocky Flintstone Unleashed, Eblinkers Saturday, Episode 14. Hey guys, welcome to another issue of Eblinkers Saturday. Hope you've all had a wonderful week and that you're all relaxed for this Saturday morning podcast. I certainly am. So, as you know, over the next few minutes, I'll dive into various reviews and comments about everything Belinda Blint and Rocky Flintstone, never forgetting MDWAP, and in doing so, giving you some of my own views on what's been said, or not said. We'll have a look at my books, my merch, podcast reviews, and of course the latest of your wonderful Reddit comments. Please feel free to comment whenever I go over the top when you're concerned. Okay, so let's start with Twitter, formerly known as X. Or have I got that the wrong way around? And by the way, guys, you can now get me on Blue Sky, same handle at Flintstone Rocky. Gotta keep up with the times, you know. Avoidant Attachment Barbie tweets. I dedicate this tweet to Delicious Tacos and Flintstone Rocky, quoting, they're replying to Lanut American. Isn't hoardiness the defining trait that unites all writers? Don't people become writers so they have more time to a scintillating thought? I'll leave it there. Okay, here's what's been on Reddit. British References by Rob W. 1977. A lot of the references in the podcast are pretty British. Are there any of you who didn't get them the first time around? Are there any that you still don't get, even after multiple listens? Dundor Rampant says, I was baffled by Tombola. Great word, baffled. By Tombola for most of an episode. Hey, digital ads? Yeah, I mean it was mostly apparent through context clues, but I still Googled it laughing out loud. Bex 1832 adds, I remember reading that Tombola is one of the top three English words people from outside the UK don't know the meaning of. The equivalent in American English is tilapia or something. Well, guys, when I was writing the first book, I never thought in the world's greatness that it would be an international something to read or laugh at. But here you go. If I'd known, I'd have made it into a raffle, but never mind. I love a Tombola. Here we go. Anyway, the Purple Pumpkin says, tilapia, like the fish, Bex 1832 replies, yes, as in. They're both common in British and American English, respectively, but if you aren't from America, you probably don't know what a tilapia is. I only know because of Stardew Valley, laughing out loud. The purple pumpkin adds, I didn't know that. I'm American, so that's really interesting to me. There were a lot of words and phrases I had to figure out because they were regional during the podcast, laughing out loud. Eteran adds, I only knew that because it's the same in German. See Them Fly 2 adds, I am a British person, but if you are not from the UK or Ireland, the Panto episode must be weird as F. DK San adds, I saw my first Panto this Christmas. Everything in that Christmas episode suddenly made sense. And the cues that Alice and James do in the episode prepared me. See Them Fly 2 adds, that's great. Pantos are so formulaic that everyone in the UK just knows how they go and what to say. That's because we've all been watching them from the age of 3 upwards. It's a fantastic British tradition for Christmas and the New Year. Lulu the Leopard adds, I love watching Peter Pan goes wrong every year, but the, oh no it isn't, oh yes it is, always flew over my head until I listened to Belinda's Panto. See Them Fly 2 adds, yeah, that's one of the script bits that the audience just know to join in on. Other bits including booing, hissing, saying, aw, and shouting, he's behind you, when a villain is standing behind the hero. Puzzle-headed ad 138 states, yes, I'm American and still don't understand the Panto at all. Very confusing, so I just skip it. I just have no point of reference. See Them Fly 2 adds, if you want a flavour of a Panto, look up the ITV Cinderella Panto on YouTube. It's free and will give you a gist of what it's like. And it's actually a great Panto and is pretty funny. There's a script to a Panto that you just know as a British person because there's a lot of audience participation that must be hard to wrap your head around if you weren't taken to see one from the age of 5. Puzzle-headed ad 138 adds, thank you. I am fond of everything British and enjoy learning more. I'm bringing my large family of 6 to the United Kingdom in a few months and we are looking forward to enjoying the culture. Good for you, puzzle-headed ad 138. And if you have any questions, just ask. We're a very friendly people. See Them Fly 2 adds, nice. I hope you enjoy. Expensive Success 475 adds, yep. MDWAP was the first time I ever heard of a Panto. An American here. Maleficent Public 11. No, because I am a British 90s child, there is also quite a bit of 90s referencing, probably more than any other period. Rob 1977 comes back and says, I should have said I'm a Brit too, so a lot of their stuff resonated well with me. I'm a smidge older than you though, laughing out loud. Now the word smidge means just a tiny bit in inverted commas, which means lots of years older. Okay, guys? Lit Diddy added, I'm a 1977 too. Ah, he spotted Rob W. 1977's handle, and he reckons 1977 is Rob W.'s birthday date. Ah, could be. Anyway, he goes on, I'm a 1977 too, and I'm an American, forgive me. And I found the tombola thing fascinating. I don't think that's a thing here. Didymus42x adds, at match of the day, rather MOT, and D of E were ones I had to look up. The context clues are there, but I had to know for sure. Now, D of E means for me the Duke of Edinburgh's award, which he gave to children who went out and did something rather difficult, like trekking for 5 days in the forests of Great Britain. MOT, of course, is our football soccer match of the day programme. Tony Beef adds, grew up in America, have done about 4 or 5 listens since about season 4-ish. I like the ish, Tony Beef. Jamie, Alice and James do a great job of explaining any local references if they're important, or at least not lingering on any if they're not crucial to the commentary or humour. Even some of the usual suspects like Jumper, I thought, were very easy to understand to anyone who's ever read or watched at least a few modern UK works. That said, even with their explanations, here are some I had to look up out of curiosity. Tombola, malt loaves, Cluedo, called Clue in the US, but still made by Waddingtons. Decoupage, I know it's not British in origin, but it's incredibly rare to hear this word in the US, and also in the UK, to be quite honest. Aston DB44, just for reference, decoupage is extremely rare here too. That's why it's so hilarious. Thank you, Aston DB44, for verifying my comment. Spicy Jim, what a great name. I seem to recall that there was a bit of a decoupage fad in the UK at some point in the early 2000s. I think only people of a fairly specific age range would be instantly familiar with it. We all eat malt loaf at least 3 to 4 times a day, though. I have to say to you, ha ha ha, on that one, because it's a bit of a niche marketplace, but totally delicious, as we get into it in a few minutes. Puzzle-headed ad 138 adds, I have listened through this podcast at least a dozen times, and malt loaf has clearly escaped my notice. I had to Google it. I've never heard of this. I'm headed to the UK in 4 months with my 4 teenagers. Do I just buy this at the local grocery store? Yes, it's readily available. And as SP25049 adds, yup, the most common brand is Soreen, spelt S-O-R-E-E-N, in a gaudy yellow-covered package. Usually in a yellow packet in the bread bakery aisle. It's a chewy, sweet, malty, obviously, fruit loaf. Have it sliced with butter. Toasting optional. Haven't eaten it regularly in years, but it was a top-tier after-school snack. And believe you me, it is absolutely gorgeous with that beautiful British butter smeared all over it. Generously. Spicy Jim comes back. Generally served with a surprising amount of butter spread on top. About twice as much as seems sensible. Thank you, Spicy Jim. Great stuff. SP25049. This guy, malt loaves. Hydraulico Zero, as is correct. Puzzle-headed ad 138 adds, I only knew about decoupage because I worked for an arts and crafts store in 2000 as a young adult. I was mystified by the middle-aged women buying art pictures to glue onto furniture and decor. To think that is Belinda's hobby made me laugh as hard as James. Smiling face. Nutrition Dominatrix, hi, welcome back. As an American who loves British content, there are so many things I don't get the first time round, and many that still confuse me. Some are references to things, places, TV shows, food, different accents, and some are just the difference in what words mean, such as dessert means pudding. But what do Brits call pudding? We call pudding dessert. Or that a pantomime isn't silent. Pantomime. Very good. I find it amusing. Maleficent Public 11 adds, the specific dish that Americans call pudding, we just don't eat. I think the closest thing is chocolate custard. Cat Friends adds, I've always imagined pudding as similar to Angel Delight, but that's just from seeing it on telly. Phew Abalone 5618 adds, pudding for the British, I think, just means dessert. Quite correct. Pudding for Aussies is a specific dessert that's like a cake baked with a sauce over the top. Cat Friends adds, yes, it does. We're guessing what British pudding is, most similar to American pudding. My guess was an Angel Delight sort of thing. When I was a kid, I had Angel Delight and just loved it. But it's not a traditional pudding, it's a very light dessert. Are you confused?
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Few abalone 5618 ads. Or maybe like one of those snack pack things. Magnificent Public 11 ads. I get what you mean, but surely you can't whip Engine Delight into a shelf-stable state. The mind honestly boggles. Complete aside, but Americans eating applesauce freaks me out completely. Nutrition Dominatrix, I don't really blame you for not eating it. The Pink Dread, a pudding can be a type of dessert as well as another word for dessert. Nuggets of Chicken ads, some products like Schlor, Malt Loaf and Viennetta, I had to Google to make sure I was following along with the bit, but I was able to understand pretty quickly. There's some rocky silliness that I think is much funnier if you understand the cultural weirdness of it, like referencing dinner ladies or calling the O2 the Millennium Dome Building. I will say there's some grammar and pronunciation in the books that I'd raise an eyebrow at sometimes and then brush it off and chalk it up to being a British way of saying things. But then I'd feel relieved as soon as someone on the podcast would make fun of it. And I realised it read as equally poorly written to them as well. Expensive Success 475 pops in and says, we had Viennetta in the US as well. I distinctly remember seeing the commercials as a kid and thinking it looked very fancy. It is very fancy. Beautiful, wavy ice cream. Rep the Plant Dog 420 adds, only thing I still don't understand what they're saying is when Spooner goes to the Carsey, to drop the kids off or something. Anyone know what it means? Rob W. 1977 says, dropping the kids off at the pool means taking a dump. Smiling face. Sir Earl Jeffries, welcome, sir. So does dropping the bronze off at the Super Bowl. That's a very good one. Rob W. 1977 adds, Carsey is the toilet. Seen him fly too, said, it's the toilet. No idea how you spell it because I've only ever heard people say it. Now, last week you may remember I mentioned that wonderful film series, Carry On Up the Khyber. Well, that's where the word Carsey is mentioned as well, and they do make a lot of fun of it. Carry On Up the Carsey, perhaps not the Khyber. Okay, FJA203, it's from Kamikaze, so I guess Kazi doesn't feel right, does it? Edit, looks like I'm talking out of my arse on this one. Just looked it up. Kazi, also spelt Carsey or Kersey, is derived from the Low Cockney word Carsey, meaning a privy, toilet. It has its roots in the 19th century, but gained popular usage during the 20th century. Some lexicographers, a person who compiles dictionaries, suggest that Kazi could have come from the Italian word casa, which means house. Others think that Kazi could be derived from Swahili makazi, meaning latrine in this African language. See Them Fly Too adds, no, it doesn't. It's one of those words that just doesn't seem to exist written down. Science Teacher 91 brings their point of view by saying, American here, love British shows. The ones I'm remembering right away, looking up or learning later on, were flannel, brackets towel, hundreds and thousands, brackets sprinkles / jimmies, and Zone 1, referencing the tube fare areas. And in London, the tube goes up to Zone 5, I believe. Never get that far out myself. Puzzle-headed ad 138 adds, I literally thought the bottom flannel meant Jamie was wiping his face with a piece of flannel fabric. Grunge wear. Flannel means regular towel? Yes, it does. And knowledge is porridge adds, a flannel is a washcloth, often made from a similar material to an actual towel. DK San adds, the longer I've lived in the UK, the more references I've gotten. Blue Comanche, says, same. It was actually really helpful leading up to my move to London, laughing out loud. DK San comes back and says, I finally got the Gladiators reference from the Belgium episode, thanks to the new recent BBC revival of the show. I've heard no stink, no pink in club bathrooms, and the whole person with sweets are rampant here. And Jamie does in fact live in a boogie area. I spotted him in my local park in my very expensive to rent area. Puzzle-headed ad 138 says, he does have a full house after all. Well, actually, it's only half a full house because he's connected to another set of owners. It's still very nice, honestly. Trippy Hop. I'm American, but I went to school in the UK for a few years, so luckily most of the references I got, which the big exception being old references like Dinner Ladies or Jenny Powell. Carol in a Mum adds, laughing out loud, I am American but married to a Brit and used to live in the UK. Occasionally I couldn't understand a reference, but not often. However, I regularly had the thought that non-Brits would not get a lot of the references. Hey, digital ads, probably less British and more because I'm a healthcare person and not a business person. But every time they call someone an MD, my first thought is doctor. Ramsey Street ads, to be fair, that's also a British thing, as we'd never refer to a doctor as MD. Puzzle-headed ad 138 says, same. What does MD mean in British terms then? I'm a nurse and MD means doctor to me. Knowledge is porridge ads, managing director, MD. Of a business. Hello Kai says, a managing director is broadly the UK equivalent of a CEO. Katashi, welcome back. I had no idea what a flannel was at first. I only heard that term in reference to a flannel shirt. Jail Man of Oz, hi Jail. Some TV channels here in Australia pretty much have British TV shows on an endless loop. So I got many of the less obscure references. I wasn't sure what a tombola was, though we call it a raffle here in Oz. At first, I thought they were talking about a tom border, a large marble. Well, guys, I'll leave that with you, but what a fantastic set of comments. Let's have a look at the iTunes reviews. Go to GB first. Skynet V13. Milked for all it's worth. 1 star. This started out being very funny, a nice gem uncovered during lockdown. But as the series got on around season 5, it felt forced and overdone. The introduction of live shows and constant advertising set a niche podcast into a product to milk money. The best TV shows and podcasts are short-lived. This is stale, and like The Simpsons, has gone on too long. Okay, let's pop across to the United States. 5 stars, Canadian 34, saying, best porn ever. There's nothing that brings more joy than the adventures of the Glee team, impatiently awaiting more bad grammar, incorrect anatomy, and Belinda praying to the Norse gods, with several emojis following. In Australia, we've got Tara Ralu, who says, why did I need to wait till now? I had this saved in my podcast collection to listen to one day, since 2019, and I started about a week ago, and I have 80 episodes left. Can you see, in my words, how this is a must-listen to? If you love a sitcom or spoof comedy, this has your name all over it. I don't understand why they ever stopped recording, and why did Rocky stop writing? Okay, can't forget about my Amazon reviews. Lockdown 69, Mr. Michael T. George. 5 out of 5 stars for all the My Dad Wrote a Porno fans. My Dad Wrote a Porno got me through COVID lockdown. Never before at a time I felt so lonely and anxious have I laughed so much. It became habit, morning walk, listening to the podcast. And after the 5th consecutive listen, I was still laughing. Lockdown 69 is the perfect accompaniment, a little extra slice of Belinda to bring bedtime laughs. A must-read for all those belinkers. And of course, guys, it's on my podcast, Rocky Flintstone Unleashed, as you well know. Let's look at Etsy and see what's happening with the merch. 5 out of 5 stars. Rocky signed with your personalized message. Blinda Blink 1 hardback book. Annotated version with free worldwide shipping. Fantastic item. Speedy shipping. Got it to be for Valentine's Day, which was amazing. And this is from Birds and Cherries, who has a beautiful tattoo of a bird carrying away some cherries. Thank you, Birds and Cherries. Wonderful. So, as you can see, it's been another interesting few days. Let's pick my poop of the week. So, Rocky's poop of the week is going to be Skynet TV 13 for your honesty in reviewing us and telling the world that the best TV shows and podcasts are short-lived. This is stale and, like The Simpsons, has gone on too long. Do you think? And now, the blinker of the week, who is Rob W. 1977. And the reason why is because of his wonderful Reddit theme regarding British references. I, too, have learnt so much from this subject, like the word tilapia, a fish which I have eaten in a Brazilian beach restaurant. It's not as good as cioba. My highly advanced wine-tasting senses detected a slightly muddy taste because tilapia lives in brackish water. And, of course, the cioba to us is the red snapper. But still, very satisfying. So, Rob 1977, email me for your complimentary birthday recording and thank you. Well, that's all today from myself and Rocky's Pavilion. Feel free to email me, contact me on Twitter or on Reddit or at my Etsy store. So, ciao, until next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.